Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream. In the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging that gold, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down in the mouth to the third degree.
This is the Bree life,
what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life,
what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Well, good evening. This is your Tuesday evening installment of the Bree Life Radio Show with your host, co-host, Mark Sedit, and we'll have Bree will be chiming in shortly. First of all, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening to us. You know, we've been growing our listenership, and we have people that's calling. They're calling from all around the United States. I'm based here in Houston, Texas, and my sister Bree is based in Brooklyn, New York. So we have a vast audience of people who are listening all over the globe. We just want to thank you all for tuning in. Also, just to let you know, for those who want to check us out on Blog Talk Radio, you can go directly to Blog Talk Radio and put in blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life. So without further ado, I just want to let you all know we have a couple of gentlemen that Bree brought to my attention who are doing some big things in the New York metropolitan area, and they have an organization, and it's called Young Men Strong. And I'll just read you a little information about that. It says Young Men Strong's goal is to become the number one mentoring organization for males of color in the United States. YMS provides a consistent source of talent, ingenuity, and innate endurance powered by the unique contributions of males of color. And they have a magazine, and I think it's going to be they're going to be having a launch party coming up this weekend. It's called Thoughts Magazine. And Thoughts Magazine helps unify African American, Latino, and other males of color to increase hope, vision, and self-image. We celebrate our men every day. So, again, Young Men Strong, and their run by Kevin Coleman and Jamar Outlaw. And I was just wondering if we have them queued in. I would like to bring them in. Do we have Brother Coleman and Brother Outlaw in the audience here?
You do have Kevin Coleman here.
This is right. Jerome Outlaw here.
Okay. Well, hey. Thank you, and welcome to the Bree Life Radio Show. So I just read a couple things about the organization, and for those of you out there are listening, it's always a beautiful thing to have brothers that care about young brothers. So I'm going to step out the way. I'm going to let you all talk a little bit about your organization.
Well, okay, well, this is Kevin Coleman. I don't mind starting. We appreciate you having us on. As you suggested, by the way, we really started Young Men Strong. It started off as a germ of an idea to really do something that would help to change the negative perception of men of color in this country. We find that there's tremendous contribution by men of color historically as well as in our time, but we get very little recognition in terms of being able to lift up those accomplishments and to encourage ourselves, as well as really make the general public know that there's a lot of strength in the work and contributions that men of color make. So we really wanted to have an organization that's really focused on creating collaborations and being able to start to bring those resources together in a deliberate way.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Outlaw, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think Mr. Coleman did a very good job in capitalizing on what we're looking to do. It's just amazing that we're able to have this opportunity to just talk about just, I would say, I wouldn't want to say ordinary people, and it's just not the word you want to use, but I guess you have to in this case to describe just people, everyday people, just saying it's time for a change, it's time to make a difference, and that's what it is. It's more of a hands-on approach as opposed to reading or contributing. You just want to say we need to do something, and we need to do something now.
Okay.
Yeah, and I agree with what Jerome is saying. It really is about ordinary men that are doing extraordinary things, and you know, which was really the genesis for even Thoughts Magazine, because Thoughts Magazine is really designed to lift up the untold positive stories about men of color in this country. Of course, unfortunately, we can go probably to any number of publications or any types of media to find a myriad of negative stories. You know, there are stories that tout that men of color don't take care of their children, or gangbangers, we're all on drugs, and, you know, so many things. There's plenty of negative stories out there. But what about the scholars? What about those that take care of their children? What about the entrepreneurs? What about those that are making significant contributions to the community? You don't hear those stories. And unfortunately, those stories are not as prevalent as the stories that keep getting repeated again and again. So this is really an opportunity to lift up those stories, because we realize that for every man of color that is highlighted in a positive way, there are probably about 50 men of color that have contributed to them being there that you never hear those stories about. So it really is an opportunity to lift up those stories, so that not only can we teach and educate those about on what we're doing as men of color, but we can also learn from those same messages.
Well, that's a really good point. I mean, because it's no doubt we have a plethora of stories that kind of don't show us in a great light. Now, I just have to add, I don't expect the white colonial media to give us that information. And because we get the majority of our information from the white colonial media, I think that, you know, we're subject to whatever versions of us that they want to give us. And if the more time we spend in front of that TV, for instance, we will get only the messages that they want us to have. So I think that is a good thing. Maybe you can tell me how Mr. Outlaw and Mr. Coleman even came together and met each other to do something like this.
Well, interesting enough, you know, we're talking about Young Men Strong. We're talking about being able to really collaborate and leverage the strength of men of color across the diaspora. So we're not just talking African-American men. We're talking about Asian men. We're talking about Native American men. We're talking about Latino men. So we're talking about men of color across the diaspora. So we're talking about developing those relationships and really being able to utilize the impact that these men have across different areas. So just going back to your question, Mark, Jerome and I have been friends for a long time. We, you know, I'm originally from the Boogie Down Bronx. I'm here in Delaware right now, but we've been friends for a long time. We've done things throughout the years and worked together as friends and in business as well. But this was an opportunity for us to be able to come together to leverage the experience that we've had in our careers to put something together so that not only can we help accomplish something, but to teach others and engage others in the process. So we're having a chance to work together again. We already have that affinity to work effectively with each other. I don't know if Jerome wants to say something.
Well,
about
he's actually being very modest here. We've actually been friends since high school, so and it's just amazing. And I guess that's one of the draws of doing something like this is that we look at each other. We've never really been apart, even though there's times has separate us and geography, but we've always been together through thought. And through love. And that's one of the reasons why we would look at this as a model to say, you know, we should be able to do that with others, is to say we don't have to be the best of anything, but we should have an affinity to care for one another, to love one another, and to help. And that's where it starts. And from our friendship, we can grow the organization because this is what we feel. And everyone that's a part of it feels the same way, is that we have this affinity saying, I care for you. I will not fight you. I will not struggle with you, but I will help you and give you the guidance to help you along. And if you need anything, I'm here for you. I will not question or judge, but I'm here for you. And I think those are really the foundations that you really need to move forward in any relationship, let alone men of color. And I think that's one of the stronger bonds that Kevin and I have, that no matter what, he knows I'm there for him. And we don't have to talk for about a year or 2 years, but yet he knows I'm here. So that's the genesis of all of this, and it just comes into an organization called Young Man Strong.
Well, you know.
And you know something, Mark, I think it's important, as you know, as Jerome kind of alluded to, we have to really dispel this myth that men of color can work together. That's, you know, just like seeing a number of negative stories in media, and after a while you see those stories enough, you start to believe it's true and that's the only truth. But that's not the case. That's why we have to lift up these positive stories as well. But we also have to dispel the myth that we can't work together. And so through our relationship over the years, we can bring that to the table as we start to launch an organization to be able to exemplify what that can mean amongst men of color in general.
Well, it's kind of interesting that you said that because, again, back to the source of our information. If you think about it, I just tell you, I live in Houston, but I'm from Chicago, born and raised in Chicago. And, you know, of late, we've heard a lot of stories about young black men dead and in the streets shooting each other, teenagers. And the funny thing about it is this, and I always like to say this, I first want everybody to know that I think every one of the lives lost in the streets is a travesty. Mm-hmm. However, if I didn't know better, I would think this was the worst that Chicago has ever seen. And 20 years ago, there were more murders in the city of Chicago than there are now. And actually, fewer of us are killing each other, believe it or not. But again, if you have the media on blast, you'll think that we don't care about each other. And the key component, and I like what you said, is that we are here for each other. So if you got a young man out there on the streets, you know, that doesn't believe that, if he believes this concept of rugged individualism, which is so contrary to the black-brown collective, see, the black-brown collective grew up with this concept of, you know, each one would connect to another one, as opposed to this concept, colonial concept of rugged individualism. You know, so when I think about the fact that you said, I am here for you, if I got a young man out there that's not believing that, what do you tell them or show them to get them to know that you're there for them?
Well, the answer to that is I only can speak from my own experience, is that the young kids that I encounter daily, they want it. They want someone to be there for them. But more importantly, they want someone that's going to not judge them, and they also want someone to trust. And those are the key things when you're dealing with the youth, I found, is that they want it. They're asking for it. They say, can someone please guide me? Can someone please answer my question? And it could be as basic as, I was in a club last night, and I got into it with a guy, and I walked away. He called me all these names. Did I do the right thing? And they struggle with these things, like you said, this manhood, this roughness, you know, that this the only way that I could identify myself is through my force. And there's another way to do this. If you have long-term goals, if there's things that you aspire to do, you're not thinking in terms of ending that dream. Okay, you stepped on my shoe. Now I'm ready to take you out. If people realize, or the young or the youth realize that there's something to aspire to, then they don't think short term. They're thinking long term, and they say to themselves, you know, I have another way, because there's another way I want to live. And I believe these are the goals and these are the aspirations that we as the older sect have to push on the kids to say, listen, there's something out there more than this. There's something more. And if you have something more, and if you're reaching out and you're saying to yourself, I know I want to be somewhere in 5 years. If someone pushed you, you're not thinking, I'm going to end it today. You're saying, hey, I have something to live for. And I believe that's where we need to be.
Well,
Mark, I think, and I wanted to say this because I think that's a really good question. You know, what do you tell them? You know, I think as important as what you tell them is what you show them. You actually show up. I mean, show up at your church. Show up at your kid's class PTA meeting. Show up during homework time. You know, show up, you know, when it comes to spending some quality time with the children. Show up in the mentoring situation. But that might not be your biological child, but because you can, because that young man next door that's living in a single family house, you walk past every day and you wonder, is he going to get in trouble? Well, when the last time you said something to him? You know, there's an opportunity for us to show something, and so that we can start to make a difference as well as telling.
But that's a good point, which kind of gets me to segue to the next point. Your organization is an organization that involves mentoring. How do you choose, or how do you get the young men that you mentor? How do you get assigned? Are you getting assigned them to the state, the county, or you just? I mean, how does that work for you all?
Well, mentoring is going to happen really at a global level. So mentoring is a broad term that can manifest itself in a one-on-one encounter. I do something here in Delaware called the Man Up Forum, where I meet with men on a weekly basis on Friday, and we get a chance to read some books and have some discussions. And that kind of evolved from there. There are going to be some other mentoring initiatives that might be related to doing some things with the schools or doing some tutoring and things like that. That's a mentoring situation. There may be something where mentoring from a business perspective. You know, when you start to talk about someone that's in a career, I was just speaking with a gentleman just this Saturday. He is doing a number of things. He's an engineer, and he wants to help other engineers that have started their career in working for different companies but might be struggling with moving up the ladder. So their mentoring can manifest itself in a number of different ways, and we'll be exploring all those different options in terms of how we deliver mentoring.
So right now, how many young men would you say that your organization are actively mentoring?
We're really launching the mentoring area. We launched as a company last year. So we're having our signature event for the first time in Hempstead, Long Island, our Black Tie Affair, to really launch Young Men Strong and really promote the magazine. So we'll be continuing to grow that in terms of how we're going to reach out in different areas.
So how are you planning on distributing the magazine? How will people get a hold to it?
Well, we have a unique strategy. We're developing distribution points. Here in Delaware, we're working with different places like barbershops. We're working with different community-based organizations. We'll be doing that all over New York City, Delaware, Philadelphia, California. So we'll be looking for organizations that say, I want to have Thoughts Magazine here because this is something that needs to get out into the community and we want to make sure that it's available. So we'll be taking that unique approach because we'll be doing a hard copy for the first two issues, and then we'll be developing a electronic version of it as well.
Oh, cool. I mean, because, you know, that's kind of interesting because I think the majority of us get most of our information off of either our phones or our pads, you know, so that whole concept of having an e-version of it, I think, is definitely a very powerful way of distributing the magazine because it's like we're distributing everything electronically, whether it be music, books, or what have you. So that's a real cool thing. So how often will your publication come out? Will it be an annual? Will it be a monthly? Will it be a bi-monthly?
It will be a quarterly. So we just completed our first issue. We'll be doing another issue. We expect to do it by the summer for our next issue, and then we expect to have a quarterly publication. And we did that deliberately because we wanted to be able to give some space to the publications for two reasons. We wanted to do it in hard copy because we still want to get that desktop feel where someone can actually physically hold that magazine in their hand, be able to flip through the pages. There's a power in being able to do that, really promote reading and things of that nature. We know a lot of things are going electronic, so we'll have that component, but we wanted to get that real touch and feel. We also wanted to put space between the publications because in addition to Thoughts Magazine, we've also developed a segment that really helps to profile some of the men that are in the current issue of Thoughts Magazine, and that segment is Inside Thoughts. So it is a production of Young Men Strong, and you'll be seeing many more of those. We just shot our second edition of Inside Thoughts, which will be out very soon. The first one, if you go on our Facebook page, Young Men Strong Facebook page, you'll be able to see the first edition of Inside Thoughts. So it really is an opportunity to not retell the article that's in the current issue, but really talk about something special regarding that man of color. So hopefully it's entertaining and it'll be a good resource for our readers.
Man, that sounds really, really interesting. So, and as far as getting it to young men, what's going to be your marketing strategy to get it to the young men?
Well, that's a good question. We have already started working with organizations. So we're looking at working with churches that have youth ministries. We'll be looking at working with community organizations that are able to work closely with young men in various capacities. So we want to work closely through organizations because they already have a relationship with these young men, and this can be a resource for helping to develop them and, you know, working with charter schools as well. So that's part of our strategies for being able to reach the young men in place.
And the reason I ask that is because it's a perception that men don't read a lot unless it's required reading. You know,
right.
When there's required reading, we do that. But if it's not required, we don't recreationally read. That's the perception. So how are you all addressing that? I mean, well, actually, not even just how you're addressing that first. Do you find any credence in that kind of thinking?
Well, I think we should certainly encourage men to read because all the knowledge in the world is in a book. So if we understand the power of reading, and then we'll find out that this is a valuable resource for us to be able to read. So one of the things that we will be promoting, and you'll be hearing more of this, is a very simple slogan. And it goes like this: I know because I read. And it's a simple statement, but there's a lot of power in there. So by having a magazine, we want to encourage men to look at the stories about men of color, what they've accomplished, and really the inspirational aspects of what you see there. But also we'll be doing other things around reading to really get us engaged in finding the information that's available because that's going to be the foundation of our growth.
Well, Kevin and Jerome, tell me this, because we're going to wrap this segment. I just want you all to provide all of your email information, Facebook, Twitter, whatever account. Go ahead and tell the people that. And if there's anything else you want to let the people know about your organization as we close, I would love to hear it.
Well, you can certainly find us at youngmenstrong.com. So certainly look on our website so you can find information about upcoming events. I also want you to find us on Facebook under Young Men Strong. You can also send, when you go to those resources, you can find our email. You can send us an email. But you certainly want to take advantage of a fantastic event that's coming up this Saturday. We are having our Black Tie Affair at the African American Museum in Hempstead, Long Island. This is going to be a fantastic event that you don't want to miss. It's going to be at 110 North Franklin Street, Hempstead, New York. Zip code is 11550. Tickets are $75. Come out. You're going to have a fantastic meal. You're going to get a chance to see the rollout of Young Man Strong and Thoughts Magazine, get a chance to meet some tremendous people and while you're there and have a really good time. So we will encourage you to come out on Saturday, March 8th, 2014, from 7 to 10 p.m. at the African American Museum in Hempstead, Long Island.
Cool. Hey, and before I let you all go, I'm going to bring in my co-host, Bree. And, Bree, what would you like to add to this?
Well, peace and blessings. This is your girl, Bree, and I want to just say a big thank you to both gentlemen from this great organization that fosters brotherhood and mentoring and respect. And Mr. Coleman, Kevin Coleman, and Jerome Outlaw, I want to thank you both for coming on the Bree Life Radio Show. I think this organization, in addition to the magazine, is going to be beneficial to our community at large that supports young men of color. It's a great thing that you're doing. You dispel the myths about black men not being able to come together and achieve something that will impact our society in a positive way and also just project us in a positive light. I applaud your efforts, and I thank you humbly for taking the time to come on the show and talk with us and share your initiative. And I personally invite you to come back to Bree Life anytime you want to share and just update our listeners on your future initiatives and anything that you just want to let us know that's going on great with your organization.
Hey, Bree, really appreciate you inviting us. And certainly I want to emphasize that really Young Men Strong is really about men of color. So it's really across the diaspora. I'm an African-American man, but we work very closely with men of all cultures that are men of color because it's so important that we really lift each other by working collectively and learning the differences and leveraging the strength. So I appreciate you having us on.
Yes, I would like to add that as well. I was going to say thank you. Definitely appreciate it and looking forward to coming back to give you a progress report to let you know how things are going.
Absolutely.
That would be fantastic. Hey, guys, I really enjoyed this conversation. I think we need to have it more often, and we'd love to have you back. Again, thank you all for taking your time out of your busy schedule to promote what I think is a very, very good cause. And keep us posted on what's going on.
Hey, Mark, we know you're down in Texas, but Bree, if you're in New York, feel free to come by next Saturday. We'd love to meet you and see you there.
Well, I was just going to tell you.
Oh, absolutely.
And shoot me those airplane tickets out right now. shoot them out because I'm ready. I want to go from this. Well, you know what? Hey, check this out. So I'm in Houston, Texas, right? So this morning, I'm tripping because it's like 30 degrees, right? The expressway is freezing and all of this craziness. And I'm like, man, where am I? You know, I'm like I look, and if you look on the trees, like the power line full of ice. I'm like, the winter wonderland, first of all, in March, because down there in Houston, by the 15th of February, usually on up, we're 70 degrees going strong.
Ooh.
Right.
It's Mardi Gras today, and folks is out there in parkas, in Timberland, on Mardi Gras. What kind of foolishness is this? I mean, they're down in Galveston.
Well, I can tell you.
Well, listen, you're not drawing any tears here. We're from New York. And
I'm
we're
telling you, that's right.
All this, no, tell them, Bree. Tell them, Bree.
Wait.
Now, please.
Look,
if,
I thought y'all were supposed to be there for us.
If you follow my Facebook page, I have a picture of Lucy from Charlie Brown saying, this is some bull crap. With the snow coming down, along with the picture of my Mustang that is covered in four feet of snow around its circumference.
Yeah. No. But wait a minute. On the other side, nobody's crying a river for y'all. Y'all up there, and what is supposed to be happening? It ain't supposed to be happening down there. What's supposed to happen is I'm supposed to be able to give you all a refuge. I can't even give y'all a refuge. I can say, come down and kick it with Mark, set it in Houston, Texas. For what?
Can we come down and get some of that Houston snow? It's a little different than the New York snow, the Delaware snow.
They have a little dusted and they're parallel.
Hey, but check this out. I'm just gonna let y'all know. This weekend it'll be back in the 70s, so we good.
Rub it in.
All's well.
Rub it in.
Again, I just want to thank Kevin. I want to thank you, Kevin and Jerome, for coming on the show. And this has been a blast. Got to come back and see us again, of course. And I wish you much success with the magazine and all your endeavors in the future.
Thank you so much, guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
That was Kevin Coleman. That was Kevin Coleman and Jerome Outlaw of Young Men Strong and Thoughts Magazine. So, Bree, what's going on?
Peace and blessings, Mark in 30-degree Houston, Texas.
What's going on, man?
Well, oh, boy. A lot is going on. And first of all, I want to thank our two new sponsors. Yes, you heard it first here at Bree Life Radio. We have two new sponsors, one being Saving Our Daughters, an organization that supports also mentoring and just self-esteem and support to young women of color and all oceans are popping up in a variety of different cities. And I have the great honor of being one of their sponsors. So Bree Life Radio welcomes Saving Our Daughters to our family. Also, Earth and Water Jewelry is also another one of our sponsors. Two organizations, we are bringing Bree Life Radio to you live, up close, and personal. Yay!
There you go. Earth and Water Jewelry.
Okay.
Beautiful thing, man. Well, first of all, I just want to say I was hoping that I had a gentleman come on. I'm not going to even say his name because I'm sure in the future we'll have him come on. I don't know. He still might come on. But, you know, we here at the Bree Life Show, me and Bree, we do this thing kind of called freestyling, and we kind of freestyle the current event. So one of the current events that caught Mark Fettett's eye were the Oscars. Now, on my Facebook page, on my Facebook timeline, I saw countless people mentioning the winning and the losing and the all of the black folks that were nominated, those who won, those who didn't win. And I saw people, like, upset that certain people didn't get awarded. And then they were jumping up and down about other people who won this little gold statue. And something caught my eye because the acceptance speech for one of the Oscar winners was this young lady by the name of Lupita Nyong'o, and I hope I pronounced her name right, but Lupita Nyong'o. And she was in this movie that was, you know, heralded as, like, you know, the best film ever, 12 Years a Slave, which I think that's a whole other conversation. My freestyle wasn't even about the movie 12 Years a Slave. However, it is about this thing, and it's this thing of why we were so elated about this black woman winning an award that was about achievement in this quote-unquote white colonial system. Say that because if anybody knows anything about the Academy and the people who are voting, the vast majority of them are white. They are not black. So it's been amazing to me to see how happy we are that white people wanted to give us an award for acting. And that's a big thing to me because I don't get it. I mean, when I say I don't get it, I'm saying I had a conversation earlier today and a young lady said to me, she said, "Well, Mark, you shouldn't be upset at someone's kind of a success." And I said, "I'm not upset. I just have a question. Why do we consider and care about succeeding at their terms?" Because let's look at what happened. So let's say that she didn't win. Then we're upset. Why? Or pissed or irritated because they didn't give us their award that they could choose whether they want to think our movie is a good movie or a bad movie or whatever. It's their award. So we get mad when they don't. We're happy when they do. Why should we care? Well, and let me finish. I'm still freestyling. Why should we care? Now, the thing about it was, the gentleman that I was going to have on, he's a filmmaker, and I'm going to have him on eventually because we're going to talk about film in this society right now, how we care, why we care about the images and the depiction of us in mainstream media when my belief is mainstream media doesn't give a damn about us anyway. They never did give a damn about us. So why are we upset? I guess that's what I want to know. And why are we overjoyed when we win one? So go ahead. That's all my freestyle was, really. It was really a question. Why?
Well, Mark, if I may, I want to ask you a few questions. Well, first of all, I just want to bring to your attention, you may know, you may not know, and bring to our listeners' attention, Cheryl Boone Isaacs, she's the first black president of the Academy of Motion Pictures and Arts and Sciences. The Academy is trying to do now, after 80 or 90 years of being in existence, is to begin to allow for diversity. And by making Ms. Isaacs the president of the Academy, maybe that was a first step in the right direction. There are many of us that would say that it's years too late because we've been in moving pictures since its inception. So why wait 70 or 80 years to make someone who looks like us to offer diversity? And why did it, and my question would be, why would electing a woman of color have to provoke diversity in this association? Diversity should be for everyone. I understand your point, but what I do want to say on the flip side of that, are you upset about why should anyone care? Or were you dismayed with her acceptance speech, you know, also? I mean, which one was it, or was it a collection of things that just upset you about the whole experience?
Well, I just want to clarify, I'm not upset. This is kind of amusing to me. It's not upsetting at all. I think it's amusing. It's like I want my captors to acknowledge me. That's crazy. And I feel great
when
they do.
Well, let me ask you a question also. And I don't mean to cut you off, but this is something I don't want to lose the thought on this, but we talk about reparations a lot. We don't talk about it now as much as we did 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. I think as time is moving forward, and because our society, culturally, as you have made a point in past shows, that diversity is happening regardless if we want it to or not. All ethnicities are beginning to intertwine with one another, where there are more people of color on the planet than they're not. So having said that,
I don't know what do it make a difference, how many people of color are on the planet? It was always been more people of color on the planet.
I mean in terms of us culturally intermixing and ethnically intermixing. We've discussed on previous shows.
Again, I don't think that's no new news. It's always been happening. I mean, you can go back. Why do you think you have fair back to the Egyptians? You have all those fair skinned Egyptians. Where do you think they get their fairness from? Where they come from?
I beg your pardon?
When you look at the fair-skinned Egyptians and other northern Africans, I don't want to just point out the Egyptians, but if you look at the Egyptians, they are fair.
Mm-hmm.
Where did their fairness come from? Wait a minute. Let's look at this. If you believe the Bible, you had the Hebrews mixing in with the Jews, so there was cultural exchange before, you know. And I'm just saying, if you believe that story, I'm not even talking about that, but I'm saying that there is some suggestion that cultural exchange has always been happening, and there have been more people of color than there's been white folks anyway. But that's never stopped the colonialism and the control. So just because they're more mixing, the hope of more mixing, then what's going to happen? Hell, let's look at South Africa. South Africa still is run by white people, and they've always been the minority. President of black and all, because the commerce, the way we do business, is not controlled by the diversity of the world. It's controlled by who it's controlled by. I mean, we've had that conversation before in past shows too. So while we may be happy about diversity and we want to have kumbaya sessions, I mean, I'm tripping out. Back to the story, the Oscar. So now you just introduced another element. So there's a black woman, and the majority of voters are not black. The majority of members are not black. The majority of the United States are not black. So you can token your way through all you want. You got a black president, and remember, and I always said this, if you have a black president and the majority of people are not black, then that means white people wanted him to be the president, and they got what they wanted, and they know why they wanted him. So I will say the same thing about, so you happy now we got a black woman over the academy. Now what? What does that mean? She's still beholden to the white folks. She got to be. She ain't got no choice. First of all, it's their system that they left her be the president of.
Okay. So what is your solution? What is your solution? Because there is an association called the American Black Federation of Films, I believe. So.
Wait.
What
wait.
Would
you say? What my solution is? I'm not.
Well,
I'll hear what I'm saying.
Well,
hear
no,
what
no,
I'm saying,
I'm just, no. You're saying that you're dismayed because how everyone seems
I
to
am
be
not
so excited.
Dismayed.
Okay.
I'm amused.
Okay,
I am amused.
You're amused with the fact that everyone seems to be so excited about this young woman of
there
color
are those.
Winning.
There are those. I won't
winning,
say everyone.
Winning the Oscar in the supporting role.
Yeah.
Are you upset? Are you amused because, Mark, please. Are you amused because she won the Academy Award for this role in a film that talks about slavery? Are you amused because it's dealing with the Oscars, which, as you say and state, it's a colonial system that we did not, meaning people of color, were not responsible for creating? What is the amusement?
Okay. Well, I don't know. I think I said it, so to speak. My amusement is, why are so many people so happy that she attained an award has nothing to do with them, that they selectively decide when they want to give what who they want to give it to, what they want to award, how they want to award it, when it's like, why would I care if they gave me an award or not? For instance, if I made a nice movie, I enjoyed my movie, and my people enjoyed watching it, why ain't that enough? Why do I care if white people give me an award for it? And why am I jumping up and down?
So if the academy was made up of black people,
you wouldn't be
amused.
Stop. This is not about. I'm gonna use your phrase. Stop. You like to say that all the time. Stop.
you're going on, and what I need clarification. If the academy was made up of African American people, or a whole panel of people of color, would you not be amused?
Again, my amusement is not based upon even the makeup of the color of the panel. It's, for some odd reason, it goes back to the President of the United States.
If this was the ABFL.
If white people had not come over here and raped Indians and took hostages and brought other black or brown people from another continent and then put us in their system and then got labor out of us and still get labor out of us and then reward us carrots and peanuts to make us feel better, and then we jump up and down and we get happy about receiving their trinkets when they don't give a damn about us. That's what I'm saying. It ain't about would I be happy if black folks was voting, because I don't even know if we would even do nothing like that. Hell, all of our awards are based upon their models. So I don't even know what our model would be. We might not even choose that model.
But you are criticizing the system, but what are you doing to make the system better? Or what are you doing to create a new system?
Well, again, all I'm saying is this.
Have you ever had a job?
Have I ever had a job?
Yeah.
What kind of foolishness is this?
No.
Of course. Okay. So let's talk.
Have you ever had a job in this country? Have you ever had a job
in this country? Stop the madness. I'm not going to answer that question.
It's a fair question. You know why?
It's
a part of the same system Caucasian people are in control of running.
So,
what are we doing? What are we doing Let me say this. I had a conversation. To be beholden.
I had a conversation today with one of my brothers, and we were talking about slavery, and we were talking about the whole concept of what slavery was versus what's going on right now. And so slavery was when a person was able to get labor out of someone without paying very much to get that labor and not actually having to pay any more than the initial price to attain the labor. And now all they have to do is make sure that the labor is healthy and fed enough so that they can continue to give them the results that they want as the slave owner. Because
and
remember,
what you have just described is capitalism.
Wait, no, let me say this. Let's talk about it. So,
okay.
Which is not community oriented, because I always think about the Christian concept. In the Bible, in Malachi, it talks about we talk about tithing. That's where the whole concept of tithing came from. They talk about it. And they said that everybody brought their tithes into the storehouse so that everybody could be fed. Well, that's a community collective concept. The capitalist concept is not about community, and it is slavery. That's what it always has been. So that means few people will control the masses, and they will manipulate the masses, and they will actually get the masses to feel you too can have it. But a pyramid structure always is a structure that gets narrower at the top, it's higher from the bottom, and it's further away. So the further I get up the pyramid, the farther I am away from the base, which means the farther I am away from being able to relate to these people. And there's only a few of us that get there. That's the point. The point is to separate, to show in a capitalist society, you have every man for himself, God for us all. Not a collective. So the model that was
not really.
Preferable,
not, I don't
what,
agree with
why
that.
Not? You don't agree with that?
Because I.
Well,
because
what about the word capital?
I understand what you're saying, but I'm talking about what goes on behind the scenes of capitalism, okay?
And the collective
that makes all that possible. There are a handful of people that are making that thing work. Believe that.
So back to my point. If you ask me what is a preferable system, it's a system that's based and rooted in nature. It's not a system that's based and rooted in some kind of artificial prop where a few people benefit and the masses are enslaved and beholden to it. That's capitalism.
Okay. So here's my point exactly. And this is I don't have a problem with your perspective. What I am a little concerned about, and I guess because I'm a project-driven individual, I want to know what the solution to all this is. I want to understand that after we've identified everything, what are we doing about it? Because this system has been in place for more than 400 years. So, okay, and we are still here. We African American, black, people of color, whatever label you want to identify with, we're still here, subject to this system. So what are we doing as a collective to institute some type of change so that we don't have to continue to have these types of conversations?
Well, first of all,
and I think, and to go back to my original point, if I may, no, I have to say this. To go back to my original point earlier today, when I said that the further we get away from the thinking of people are beginning to has changed, and you see the evolution of change because we don't talk about again. I don't hear the word reparations now as much as I did 20 years ago. People are not acknowledging slavery the same way now as it was acknowledged 20 years ago, 50 years ago. By no means am I in support of what happened to us. What I'm saying is that the mindset of people have changed. So what are we doing to get away from this colonial system that you speak of? What are we doing as a group of people?
Okay, wait a minute.
Especially on those groups of people who have a problem with the system.
Okay, let me tell you what. This is my belief. My belief is this. Some things have to die off. It ain't going to be something you're going to really be able to do other than acknowledge that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Understand. Let's go back to your question about a job. So working and have worked in the system, my thing is I don't celebrate it. I get what I get out of it because that is what I can do. But I'm not celebrating it. I'm not applauding it. I'm not holding it up. I'm going to get what I'm going to, it's kind of like I'm going to render unto Caesar what is Caesar until Caesar dies. The thing about it, something's got to die before other things can live
again. I don't think actors really look at themselves as doing that as a job. Usually
why
when you're acting,
you ask me a question.
When you have a craft,
but that's,
because this goes back to the origin of your
But you're not
statement.
Talking about that no more. But you asked
no,
me
I am still
if,
talking about that because that's
why
what
did
we're
you
talking
ask me
about.
If I had a job, what was the reason for asking me that?
Because if you define what slavery is, when
but
you're
you asked me if
during
I had a job.
Your definition, and I said, "Did you have a have you ever worked before?" And
okay,
you wouldn't
and
answer
and
the question.
So and yes would be so then if I say yes
now
you
you're answering
what?
The question
right so I say yes because I asked I said I know you got that
well,
was to me
then you've been
I thought that was kind of a silly
then
question
been, then you no I don't think it's a silly trust
to
me,
ask me if I
there
ever
are
worked.
Some people
I'm,
there
I'm
are some 50 year olds
man,
that have not
and I never worked
no, they have there
you
are some 50
year old
one,
people that never worked
yes
okay
yes
I don't know nobody. I, yeah.
Okay, well,
and
you're lucky.
And they were born and raised
and you're fortunate. And you're fortunate not to be one of them.
To never have had a job in their whole life, not even a paper route.
I've already
you know
answered
some,
that question.
Oh, the answer is yes. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so
that's weird.
So what I was, so the point that I was trying to make was that you have been subject to a form of slavery. You have been subject to a form of capitalism. But still, what is the solution for us not holding up or glorifying being assimilated into their system? What is the solution?
Then again, it has to die off. The best
okay.
that we can get to me.
And how
is
long
the,
do you think, or how
well,
long do you think it's going to take to die off?
Well, again, I don't. I'm not going to see it. I won't see it. My children won't see it.
Mm-hmm.
They won't see it.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. And so what happens is, it's similar to. When you have cancer or you have an illness and you can do the best you can to mitigate the pain. That's where I feel. So I feel talking about it. I feel continually saying I'm not going to be quiet about what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to continue to educate people to say, look, stop being enamored by the shiny stuff. All that glitters ain't gold. Just because it's shiny, it don't mean it's valuable. And just because it's shiny, it's kind of like the Pied Piper of Hamelin. You get that nice little tune, and you dance in your ass to it, and before you know it, bam. They lead your ass off to slaughter. I'm saying don't go quietly. Be honest and aware of what's going on. And back to like the young brothers, embrace each other as much as possible because what you can do is create microcultures where you can have some level of insulation, similar to a fishbowl versus the ocean. I may not be able to have an ocean, but I can have some kind of facsimile of my environment. So that's what I know we can do because capitalism is entrenched and the minority ain't getting ready to topple it. It ain't going to happen. But what we can do is say, we see you, we see you, we see you, as opposed to saying, I want to be you, I want to be you, I want to be you. I don't want to be you. I understand I have to still work for you, but I don't have to be you. I don't have to like what you're doing.
And do you think that's what actors, men and women of color, are doing in Hollywood? Do you think that they're trying to be accepted? Or do you think that they have come to be at the level of their craft in Hollywood being acknowledged, not just by the white colonial individuals who are in charge of the system, but by their peers, by their contemporaries, by people who look like them? Do you think that they're there for that? Or do you think that they're there to be accepted? Or do you think that they're there because of their passion?
Well, I think ultimately the way the system is created, no matter why you want to be there, you have to kind of get, the further you get into it, the more you start getting into what their program is. So you might start out as this wide-eyed, want to love the world, do everything right. But the more you get into the system, it's kind of like the song that Earth, Wind & Fire had, That's the Way of the World. How the child was born with a heart of gold, the way of the world made it cold. I think they do start out a certain way. But if you look at the levels of drug addiction, abuse, and various other things that you have to do, it's about numbing yourself to what you have to be to succeed in the system. That's what happens more than anything. And I think it becomes like Stockholm syndrome. You start identifying with your captor. You do. I think it's, but it's hard not to, because it's like, I call it PTSD, post-traumatic slave disorder. The bottom line is we are traumatized. Why wouldn't we be? I would say, think about it like this. Just like you can have a wounded leg, that doesn't mean you still can't walk. That doesn't still mean you can't do things. That just means you walk with a limp. That just means you take painkillers to mitigate the pain that came from the injury. But the injury is still there. The injury still happened. So I feel we can do is embrace each other. It's like you my woman, and I say, baby, come in from the cold world when you come to see me. We're going to be each other's comfort because them people don't care about us. And every day I go to work, I know they don't care about me, but that's okay. I'm going to do my best with what it's given me, and I'm going to come home, and I'm going to embrace myself. Like the brother was saying today about the young men, they don't know nobody cares because they know the world, I mean, as a whole, the world don't care. So where is their haven of rest? Where's their incubator? Where's their umbrella? And that's what we can do. We can do that.
Which is a perfect segue, and I think your topic is very valid. And I want to thank you for bringing it to the listeners. And I don't want the listeners to mistake our heated banter between one another as arguing or disrespecting one another. This is healthy conversation, and you just got a chance to get a snapshot of what goes on with us in our personal phone conversation. So I want to thank the listeners for bearing with us in that heated discussion. But that was a perfect segue to one of the things that I wanted to talk about, my current event. And I think it's a current event not just because I'm seeing it more in the media, unfortunately, that's governed by the white colonial system that our brother Mark is talking about, but also because I've personally experienced this myself more specifically last week, and that is partnering and being able to share resources, information, contacts, connections, especially in the African American culture and in our and in our communities is so important to our own survival and for our own success. And I was reading an article in Black Enterprise magazine that talks specifically about mentoring and partnering. This week I had the, and last week I had the very good opportunity to talk with a woman who works at the National Urban League. And just by talking with her, she put me in alignment with two people, and I've made such good contacts and a business opportunity that had I just not had a casual conversation and also been recommended by a client of hers, may not have happened. It is very important for us to not be afraid. And one of the things that Mr. Coleman from the Thoughts magazine made a point of is that there is a bad perception or a myth that Black men are not able to collectively come together and make incredible things happen because of their egos or whatever. But if I could just expand on that, that myth is said of and between African-American people all the time. We can't come together. Look at all other ethnicities. They're able to pool their resources, make sacrifices, and come to this country and earn millions of dollars just by coming together. Well, I say that we have the same capacity. In every culture, there are people who don't always have a collective mindset and a positive outlook on mentoring or sponsoring or partnering. It's all very essential to our way of life and being successful in our community. So that's just my two cents about the whole concept of partnering and mentoring. It's important. I think that we all should do it. There is wealth in numbers. There's wealth in sharing. And, you know, the great things come from being able to help a brother or help your sister get a step or two further than maybe they might have if you didn't come along. So those are my current event thoughts for this week. Mark, you have anything to say about that?
Well, I just wanted to kind of backtrack a little bit and just give you a little information because you were talking about the Black woman that was over the Academy, and I just wanted to add you a little information. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts Sciences continues to be an exclusive club that is 93% white, 76% male, with an average age of 63. And this is according to the Los Angeles Times. So that's quite interesting. Also, with something else you talked about reparations. United States reparations are for the people referenced in the treaty and colonial law. So people need to understand that reparations were for those who were involved in those referenced in those treaties. If you were not part of a treaty, and usually treaties were made with other nations, not slaves, then that doesn't, based upon colonial law, you wouldn't get reparations anyway. Another thing, just to let you know, and one of my brothers sent me this idea he just was saying. He said, one of the solutions is grow as much food as we can and teach our children as much as we can about solutions and return to our heritage, meaning finding our collective heritages that we have based upon the fact that, again, a lot of people, and it's a lot of stuff on the Internet right now, a lot of groups and people talking about this whole issue of who are Americans and who are we? Because, like, the phrase African-American didn't even appear in a lexicon, and our lexicon from 1987. Prior to that, I guarantee you start looking. And I was talking to, I remember we had a show with the gentleman's name, Hackley.
Dr. Hackley.
Dr. Hackley. We had a conversation, mm-hmm. and I remember I told him, I said, the whole name African-American didn't even appear in our lexicon. And you would be hard-pressed to find anybody that could show you anything other than that, that it wasn't even in our lexicon until around 87. So prior to that, we weren't even referred to as African-Americans or being from Africa. So this whole African connection that is continually touted, this is just my opinion, I think it's quite an interesting thing, and it would make a lot of sense because what if you were from here, but I didn't want you to know you were from here because I didn't want you to have a level of pride of your heritage. I tell you about another place that you want to go back to. Because the funniest thing, most Africans don't recognize us as being African in heritage. Number one. Number two, when they refer to themselves, they don't refer to a continent. They refer to a nation anyway. They don't refer to a landmass. We talk about Africa in a very generic sense because we don't know nothing else. But what would happen if we got educated and found out there were other options and that maybe we ain't from Africa and maybe the vast majority of people of color have a heritage that's connected to this landmass that our feet are on top of? Would maybe we'll do something different. I don't know. But I'm saying get the information out there. They always say knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power.
So let's get the information out there. Think about this. When you feel you're from a place, one of the first things you do to try to enslave somebody is to separate them from their land and their culture. That's how you do it. Because most people that have a strong connection to their land and their culture will die for that. But if you take me away from my land and my culture, what do I do? I assimilate and become like my captors. And that's happened worldwide. That ain't nothing new. That's nothing new. That's how you dilute a people and how you regulate them to becoming servants and subservients. So I just think that that's just a fact. I think we look at it, we see it. So I think it is interesting to do the token things that they do, but it's not really interesting. It makes sense because it's like the horse and the carrot. If I continue to put people in strategic positions, then I get people to think they can have it too. Knowing all the way that I got my scheme, I know they can't have this. Only a handful going to get it. We already know that. But let's make everybody think they can get it. That's one of the best schemes you have ever come up with. Make everybody believe they can have it all, knowing they can't. And then I say, look, you got a black president. Look, it's a black president over the Screen Actors Guild or over the Academy. Look. But then you're telling me that at the same time, 93% of the damn scientists is white. So what are you really telling me? Because guess what? The president is beholden to the group. So I got a black president over the motion pictures, arts and sciences, but 93% of the group is white. So what you think gonna happen? So you're happy now. I ain't talking about you. I'm saying so now we're happy. So when we have Black History Month, we tout the little accomplishments. But those accomplishments as a whole didn't get us no damn where, because at the end of the day, those were allowed to happen in this space. Because think about it like this. If I come over to your home, take over your home, I got guards and guns all in your home, then now it's like you know this might be your home, but you don't have freedom to reign in your home. You got to come to me. You're a hostage. So no matter the fact that it's your house, I still run it. So guess what you got to do? You got to give in to your captors. And after a while, and they talk about people who have been held captive for a long time, they start identifying with their captors. Well, think about it. We've been in captivity for a long-ass time. And a lot of us want to be like the white man. We do. Matter of fact, we get mad when people say anything against it. we get mad and say, oh, get over it. That was so long ago. And I've even heard people talk about this 12 Years a Slave. Why are you making another movie about slavery? That was 300, 400 years ago. Why are we talking about that? Okay. Well, I just outlined why we're in a system right now that's not very, very much the same as slavery. And guess what? You ain't going to try to run away from this because you think you ain't in slavery. So why would you try to escape? Because you think you could be just like them. And guess what? They want you to believe that.
Are the people who you feel are well assimilated in their culture, their system, are they easily recognizable? How does one recognize one that, you know, if they didn't say something, what would they be doing that,
well,
or what would they be wearing to say, you know what, that black woman or that black man wants to be a part of the system?
Okay, so this is the deal. Here's the reality. The reality is that we all are. You can't see, that's the beauty of the system. The beauty of the system is that, to some extent, we've been grandfathered into this subservient attitude. We have been. Matter of fact, because what happens is we started getting things and acquiring things within the system. So now, in order to maintain it, I'm beholden to it. I got to do certain things because I need it now. It's kind of like an addict. Now you become a dick body is calling it. So, no, it's not easy. Because it's not the person that walks around and says, oh, hi, my name is Becky. No, you got it wrong. That's not what I'm looking at, talking about. Because it's Mark. Mark said it is one of them. He's one of them, too. He's fighting it. He has opinions about it, so he may talk about it. But he's beholden to it, too. How can he not be? And here's the other thing. If he has a chance to even make strides at moving out of the system, he can't do it alone anyway, because it's not a singular movement. It's a collective movement that's only going to get us out of it. Again, remember this. All of the old axioms like together we stand, divided we fall. You're only as strong as your weakest link. Everybody knows this already, that it takes a collective to rise. So what do you do? If you know it takes a collective to rise, what in the hell are you going to do? What you going to do, Bree? If you know it takes a collective to rise, I think what you're going to do is keep making weak links, keep making division, divide and conquer. Makes sense. So for every Mark that says something, you're going to have somebody saying, man, that nigga, whatever. Man, get over it. It's working. It works. It's not a mistake. It's not happenstance. It was by design. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And it's hard, but the fact that we can talk about it, that's sometimes going to be our salvation. That we can talk about it. That we can make strides. That we can have camaraderie with like-minded people for 5 minutes even. Because when we go to work tomorrow, we're going to be right back in it. So we get a respite. That's what we get a lot of times. We get a small mini vacation. That's what we get. And all you got to know is look at drug abuse, alcoholism, and various other ways of mitigating pain. Do it every day. Folks come home from work tired, not happy. Don't want to do this. But it feeds on itself. Buy a car, buy a house. Guess what you got to do? You got to keep coming to me. And there have been few people that have been unbelievably courageous and able to wean themselves off that walked away. Ain't a whole lot. Ain't a whole lot. I can tell you that. It's not an easy task. Because, again, if it was easy, we wouldn't be even talking about this. is very hard. It's hard on our emotions. It's hard on our body. Think about the food that we have, like my brother was talking about. The bottom line is that it's hard to be healthy, not just because of it costs, but because we've been so unhealthy for so long, our bodies are to all the other substances that are in our foods, which dulls our thinking, messes with our moods, all of that. That's not the natural model, but we're so far from it. And we know it. That's why we talk about diets. That's why we talk about doing things, because we know it. But guess what? Almost all of us that do it, we're so caught in the system that we find ourselves cycling back at some point, because it's hard as hell because we haven't been doing it. Because we've been eating what we've been eating. We've been listening to what we've been listening. We've been involved what we've been involved in. The American way. It's the American way. And so, as such, it's getting the results that it's asked for. Here's the only problem with all of it. The model, because of the artificial model, is not sustainable. And we're seeing it right now when we look at things like global warming, the atmosphere. We're watching right now all this crazy stuff happening with the weather. Again, the things that we're doing is not working as a whole. And eventually it will pass. It has to. It ain't working. But no, me and your generation won't see it. This is all we can do. We can grow our little garden. It's like the old saying. It said, don't curse the darkness. So all we can do is keep lighting candles as much as we can. All we can do is light candles. We can light candles. But I'm not hopeless. See, here's the point. I'm not hopeless. I'm not dismayed like that. I'm hopeful because I can talk about it still. Now, when I don't care to talk about it, when it's not an issue to me, be very afraid. Be very afraid. Because a lot of us don't talk. Because that means that we gave up hope. That we gave up hope. That we don't see no light. At the end, even if my light is five generations from now, I still see it, because I don't think that I'm separate from my children and my children's children and my children's children's children. So whether I'm here or not, physically, I'm here, because most of our cultures have something embedded in it called ancestors. So we believe in the spirits of the ancestors that we live on through our offspring. And our offspring is the offspring of our offspring of our offspring of our offspring. We call it generations. So I will see it. I won't see it from this body, but I'll see it. We will move past this. We have to. It ain't working. It ain't even working for our captors. They getting all kind of stuff, skin cancer, all kind of stuff. It ain't working. It ain't working. Colon cancer, all kind of stuff. They getting it too. They don't have a sustainable model, so now when you see places like Whole Foods and stuff who's charging you an arm and a leg to have good stuff, they know it. They trying to get it too. But because of how we set up the model, it ain't very sustainable at this point, because we got concrete jungles everywhere. There's a whole lot of land that we used to live off the land. Now we don't have it. So when I ride down the street, every form of fast food and genetically modified and everything, all of that. So when we laugh, you hear about your man in New York, and before the old mayor, and they were talking about banning soft drinks, and people get mad at that. I'm like, man, come on. Come on. Banning soft drinks. So now we're mad because now we want to call it freedom, because somebody had an idea that might keep your ass alive a little longer. You ain't going to tell me what to eat. Look, you're right. You're so right. We ain't. It ain't going to work any damn way. So go on, get the big gulp. Because they already failed. Well, I just get three little cups. But I'm going to have
but I'm going to have all my drinks. So you're right. I, man, hey, I get it. I buy Diet Cokes all the damn time. Addicted. Been fighting it. Got my apple cider vinegar, got my baking soda, got my tools I'm trying to work on, but I'm in a war because my body is acclimated to BS.
Apple cider vinegar.
Oh, yeah. What about
what's going on with apple cider vinegar?
Hey. Hey, it's a wonder solution. You should check it
for
out.
What? For what?
For all things, on all kind of stuff, just all kind of stuff. It's a regulator.
Hmm.
All kind of stuff.
So what does it do? Is it some diet fat burning agent or what does I mean, our listeners are interested to know what does apple cider vinegar.
Well, you know what? That's what I would do about it, you know, because there's some very good things that apple cider vinegar can do along with other things like, you know, baking soda and lemons and just different things that are good for the body as far as, like, for instance, baking soda helps with your pH levels in your body, you know, issues of acidity and things of that nature. And, again, I'm not going to go on. What we could do is we could surely have a show on that. And I know some people that really know what.
Yeah.
I got somebody in mind right now that knows, oh, man, he's something else when it comes to that stuff. But my point is there are things that can help mitigate the BS that we put in our body. But it's a war. It's a war. It's a war. It helps because, you know, it has detoxifying agents, you know. I mean, it's just got a lot of stuff in it.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that help. That health tip with the listeners.
Yeah, yeah. Now that was
I'm
just,
sure
just
that...
another part of all of it, you know. So it's another part of all of it, and I had no idea we were gonna get all off into this, but you know, it is what it is.
That's what freestyling is all about.
And, yeah, well, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to scare the people in Breathe Life Radio Land, you know, because we got a person we're going to have come on. We're going to talk about animals and dogs. We got to get her on. When are we going to have her on?
Oh, no.
We got to have her on.
Well, my.
We got to get her.
Goodness. Maybe. Let's see if I could.
Get
her
on the show. I want to talk to her.
You want
to
call
her? Look, I got a new revived love for animals after, because, you know, I have a girlfriend.
You do?
I haven't had a girlfriend in a long time. But I have a girlfriend, and my girlfriend has dogs.
Lord have mercy.
That's what I said initially. So I said, Lord have mercy. Because if there's a God out there, they know how I feel about animals in a damn house. I feel like they supposed to be running wild. They ain't supposed to be in the house. And I never, you know, invited being licked in the face by no damn dog.
Well, let's see if I can get my cousin Sherry on the line.
Jumping up on me. But, you know, I do feel...
Oh, no, what was that?
That was
I apologize to the listeners.
Yeah, yeah. But my thing is, there is a kinship that we have with animals. There's no doubt about it, because we are animals. You dig? You see, and I realize that, you know, they got emotions. They got stuff that we got. It may not be exactly configured like ours is configured, because their brains are not configured like ours is configured, but that, they still have a brain. They still have nerve endings. So they got it. So definitely a value in an animal. Much love to the animal. Shout out to... Hey, shout out to Leia and Day Day. Yeah. But you ain't ambushing her, are you?
Yeah.
Hello?
Sherry?
Yes?
This is Sabrina. And you're on the Bree Life Radio Show.
You are funny.
To all my listeners, I want to introduce you to my cousin, Sherry. She lives in New Jersey. And she is an avid animal lover.
Yes,
and
I am.
We're talking about you.
So, Sherry.
Okay.
I want to introduce you to Mark Sedis.
Sherry,
this is
Mark Sedis. How you doing?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I shared with Mark earlier about the conversation that we had last night, our little heated conversation about you cannot stand people who do not like dogs and cats and birds and any type of animal.
She called you Dr. Doolittle.
I love animals. They are wonderful. They're just so innocent.
Why don't you share with us the conversation that we had? You don't have to use names to say to spare the innocent, but just share the conversation that we had last night.
Oh, okay. What was I saying? Well, she's basically an angry person just in general because she's going through some issues.
Oh.
However, she just blurted out of the blue when I was telling her to look over there by the store. There were two cute dogs, and one dog had on a dress. Oh, they're just animals, she said. And I work where people come in, and they get bit by them all the time. And I had to refrain from flipping out on her. But she has no clue. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She doesn't understand the connection between an animal and a human being and the love that you can have and their unconditional love. She doesn't get it. She just figures that they're an animal. What?
Sherry, come on, give it to us. Tell us what we're missing.
Well, they've never sat down and even tried. They have no clue. They don't know what they're talking about. They start talking about, oh, we had an animal, but the animal lived outside. There's no connection with an animal that lives outside.
Actually, she told for the listeners who don't know, she's talking about me because I told her I had dogs, but they were outside.
She said the same thing. The one that's clueless said the same thing. I had a dog that lived outside. I'm like, but you didn't have a connection with the dog. If the dog lived outside, you didn't get it.
Hey, Sherry, I got a question for you.
Okay.
What are you talking on? What kind of phone or headset? What are you talking on?
My iPhone.
I just want to know about your technology is coming through so super ridiculously clean.
Oh, okay. iPhone.
I'm kind of digging out the technology she's working with over there, boy. She's got some really good technology. But anyway, Sherry, so I was telling her, I got a girlfriend, you know, and I didn't have a girlfriend for a while. So now I got this girlfriend, and this girlfriend has dogs. Now,
I'm sorry, I missed you because I put my earplugs on. Okay.
So I got to tell you how I feel about dogs. To me, my view of animals is, you know, that they should be in the wild running around, and they should be happier in that. But if they're going to be domesticated, then they need to be trained. So I feel that we do them a disservice if they're not trained. So meaning that since dogs especially are pack animals, they need a leader or they're going to be the leader. And I don't like being in a house where the dog leads.
With a dog leading? Well, if you get a dog and you train the dog, I mean, it's really easy to train the dog when you're both in love with each other. They pay you so much attention. They fall right into your world. Everything that you do, your life, they just roll right with it when they're in tune to you and you're in tune to them. It's simple. People that don't have a heart and they don't understand and they just look at it as an irrelevant object, they're not going to get that. Okay, now some people send their dogs away to train, to be trained. I mean, you could do that to some degree, but if you don't have a connection with the dog, there's no point.
Well, you know what,
Sherry? Just because it's not human doesn't mean that it can't have a connection with you.
Right, well, that's like trees.
Well, I don't know about a tree.
Sherry, oh, no, you're hurting me, Sherry. So,
I don't know about a tree now.
But it's living.
It's living.
It's, think about it. It shows stress. You can tell it when it's stressed. It turns colors when it's stressed. It livens up when it's got a right kind of environment. I mean, it's living.
Okay.
If you put it under a microscope, it's moving and living. So it's got an energy that responds to us, too. I mean, it's like, so dogs, trees, birds, breeze.
She's got all of them. She's got birds. She's got dogs. She got everything over there.
Yeah.
She got a lot of love and energy in her house.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, but I mean, you have to take care of everything that's living. You know, there are some things that aren't as intelligent as a human being, but that doesn't mean they should be loved any less.
Well, I just think they have. I don't like to say as intelligent because I think it's a different type of intelligence. So it's kind of like comparing apples with oranges. They have the level of intelligence they have. We have ours.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah. But some people think if. Some people think if they're not on a human being's level, then they're irrelevant, like my friend.
So do you eat
She's
meat?
Just hardcore evil.
Do you eat meat?
Nasty.
Do you eat meat, Cheryl?
No.
You don't eat meat?
No. I mean, I eat chicken and I eat fish, but I don't eat red meat.
All right.
Yeah. And I'm about to give up
animals.
The other.
Because I'm thinking, like, if you love animals, how can you eat one?
Right. Well, that's why I stopped eating red meat, first of all.
But
and
you
I'm,
eat
and
chicken.
I kind of have a problem with that, too. I know. I kind of have a problem with that, too.
Because I'm thinking.
I'm sure that's
what's
next on my list.
Okay, because your birds might not like you eating chicken.
Probably not. Probably not.
You know what I'm saying? They might start flying around and going crazy. You don't know why. Because they're eating their cousin. You eating their cousin.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
See,
but, you
yeah,
know, once I got these two cute little dogs, I couldn't eat red meat anymore. I'm like, you know what? I just can't.
Well, here's the thing.
Watch out for them birds.
I know.
Here's the thing about Sherry. When she starts talking about her dogs, I get very quiet.
And
I don't
should.
Say anything.
And you should. Bad
because
breeze. Bad
breeze. Bad breeze. Get out of here. Because.
You're cruel.
I really don't want to get into it with her because, you know, it gets very emotional.
Yes, because they're like my children. I love them dearly. They're incredible. They're wonderful. They have a lot of love. They're great dogs. They are great dogs.
You sound wonderful, Sherry. We like Sherry on the Bree Life Radio Show.
Oh, thank
Sherry.
You.
We like Sherry. For real.
And
Sherry's
she's been,
got the
and
love.
She's been, and then trust me,
yeah.
she's gonna, I'm going to hear about this after the show. That
okay.
Sherry sounds all light and fluffy right now, but wait till the show is over, and she calls me back after the song goes off.
Well,
and she's gonna be like, "This
is alone."
Right,
you're right.
Because I ambushed her because I've been telling her for 2 years I want her to come on the show, and she's
I
like,
know,
I'm
but
coming,
I was doing
I'm coming,
homework.
I'm coming, I'm coming.
Some of the topics I didn't want to talk about because they would make me mad.
That's right. We had a good subject to talk about today. We got some animals.
Yeah.
Now, hey, my friend called them animules. Some animules.
Animules.
You got the
animals. That's so sweet.
That's my friend down here in Texas. Say
animals. Yeah, animals. Oh, I
animals.
Said animals. They're so cute.
We love the animals.
Oh,
animals
Lord.
Love us. Animals love us.
And they love us.
So,
but how do you not get that? It makes me wonder.
Look, Sherry, in honor of this, we're going to get Bree a dog.
No, you're not.
And
she would understand. She would love the animal. However, she's trying to. Oh, yeah. They're entertaining. They're great company. A lot of love. The only problem is when you're trying to travel a lot, it's rough.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only thing.
Yeah, I'm traveling on purpose.
Yeah, okay.
They might treat you better than the men.
Yeah, they would. They would.
They're
unconditional.
Hey, I'm gonna be very, I'm gonna be more specific than Mr. Benjamin 2 weeks ago. I'm not giving up. I love men, but I'm not really interested in them right now. I'm focusing on other stuff. Thank you very much.
Hey,
I don't want to right now.
Hey, you focusing on the earth and the water.
Yes,
and I'm focusing on school.
Water, yes.
I'm focusing on school. I'm doing the same thing. I'm not entertaining any guys. I'm just trying to get through school. I don't need that type of stress.
Wait a minute.
You know, that comes with dating.
Hey, Sherry, I was loving
yes.
you for the longest. Now you just introduced men
you don't need
stress.
The frag a nap
what
on it.
Kind of
introduce men as stress.
Hey. Look, all men are not stressed.
Which was about, wait, hold on.
Well,
as a matter of fact, just to let our listeners know, we were supposed to be talking about, we didn't get to the subject. And you have the perfect person on the phone for this.
But wait a minute. Any relationship is stress.
Like
they don't understand. Any relationship is going to come with stress. I can't right now.
Life. Any relationship, meaning your relationship with your book, everything has got stress.
That's stressful.
If everything got levels of stress, you just manage stress and you use it to your benefit. So what's the deal? So that stressful man, you make him work for you.
No,
so,
that's
got
to wait till I'm finished.
But Mark, your topic was men just don't understand.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we don't, and we're going to understand in 15 minutes. So you don't even need to start that. Keep that one for another time. Another time.
Well, I think we should have a preliminary talk about it. I really do.
Of course you do.
I would like to know what don't men understand? You said something about
we don't understand a damn thing.
About what?
Women.
Be specific.
Oh, no.
We love y'all. We feel y'all. We want to be with y'all. But understand y'all. Anyway. Yeah, you tell me the man to understand a woman. Right. If he understand a woman, guess what I know? He ain't with one.
Well, I don't think that they really love us for the most part. That's some rare stuff when you find one that'll fall in love with you.
Oh, we love y'all. We always love y'all.
We might not
always show it and know how to show it. Because, you know, look, the bottom line is this. We learn how to love the best from our mothers. And if our mothers teach us right, we'll know how to handle a woman. I just feel that a lot of our mothers don't teach us how to handle women. So we try to get it from a man, and a man surely can't tell you how to handle a woman. The best person to go and tell you about the emotions, the feelings, the hurts, the pains, and everything is not another man. Get it from a woman. And I think the best woman to teach a young man how to care and interact with a woman is their mama. That's what I think. That's just my
opinion. Yeah, I'm sure it starts there. I'm sure it starts there. But it seems like all that a lot of men care about is just a conquest. They just want to get what they can and keep it moving.
You know what? Okay, so this is what I would say about a man. A man will, first of all he want to put you in bed. Bottom line,
right
out the gate. Always want to put you in the bed. But let me explain this to you. no matter how much you want to push in the bed, it's undeniable when he connects with you. And when he connects with you, trust me, he ain't going to just want to put you in the bed. Now, that's going to be how he's going to get you. He's going to get you because of the sexual attraction. And that's how we mm-hmm. that's how we connect. Mm-hmm. But now, to want to take it beyond sexual connection, it's going to be something else. It's going to be another piece of energy that's going to engage him in such a way where he's going to want to do more than just put you in the bed. But trust and believe, he always want to put you in the bed. Out
right.
the gate. He sees
right.
He sees ass. He sees all of that first. He don't know you. I don't know. See, I get to know Sherry right now through a conversation on a phone. I don't see
right.
her. But if I see Sherry walking down the street, I don't know you. But I know you got a nice looking ass. And I want to figure a way I can touch it. I want to touch it. Now, but usually I know that I have to have some level of mannerism. So therefore, I ain't going to probably approach you on that level most of the time. I ain't. I'm going to try to have another kind of conversation.
Right.
I know that 9 times out of 10, I ain't going to get to touch that ass if I can't have another conversation.
Right.
So I try to have that conversation. And I interact.
Try.
As I do that, though, I also realize whether I am feeling you or not. Because I might start like, damn, I like the way she thinks. I like her energy. Well, I still want to put her in the bed, but I feel like all that other stuff now. I like that.
Right.
Or I might come away from, I don't know what that woman's talking about, but ooh, if I could just lay her down. That's just how it is. But see, that's the reality. So we can get past that. We also understand that. Hell, women like men, and they like sex too. But y'all size us up a little differently in general. Now, I got this one gentleman that's running around out here saying crazy stuff about all women want is vitamin D, which I think is crazy.
Yeah, he's definitely delusional.
Well, he's either delusional or he's trying to drum up business for his various literature and information that he has out there. So
well, he must be trying to drum something up because,
you know, being controversial, you know, he might be.
Yeah, because he knows that's not true.
He kind of knows that's not true. But let's say he doesn't. All I can promise him is this, that I have never met a woman that all she cared about was vitamin D. Now, that being said, if you can't provide in that area and she like you, well, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because she probably ain't give you no pass.
Yeah, that is a problem.
I wouldn't know. I don't remember.
She's chiming in. We got somebody that's got a memory lapse over here. Then we got this other sister that she remembers all too well. So, I guess, the truth lies somewhere in between.
Somewhere
in between. I don't know. I'm just saying. But
well, if a woman isn't feeling a man, 9 times out of 10, she's not interested in the other. From what I hear, men can do that without being interested. So,
I mean, look,
we're talking about two different animals.
Well, let me tell you something. Your God, your universe, your nature, whatever you attribute our existence to, created both of us the way we did. And I believe that if men didn't want sex, then we wouldn't have any use for y'all, and therefore we wouldn't multiply. Because you got to have
But some guys want a maid.
What?
Some guys want a housekeeper. Get somebody in the house that will keep the house together, cook meals for them, some guys are like that, though.
Okay, when you count all of them on one hand.
And then he wants to continue to go out there and sleep with other women. But he has a house one.
When you count them on one hand, when you finish counting the men that don't want no sexual interaction, you're going to get to the rest of them.
No, I don't know any that doesn't want any. But you said they wouldn't have any use. They wouldn't have any use. Yes, they would.
Well, I ain't talking about me, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying, men, once you get, well, I'm exempting myself from those men, but I'm just saying, for the sake of this conversation, I'm not talking about me. What I am saying is that men in general want that physical interaction.
Right.
We want it.
Well, Oh, yeah. For sure.
We want it. But most of us are respectful enough that we're going to take a process to get to know you because we're going to follow your lead. Because we figure like, damn, I want to get to her. I got to play by our rules.
Mm-hmm.
To some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And we might try to assert ourselves in such a way that we might try to get you to buy into some of our rules. But at the end of the day, hey, why must I be like that? Why must I chase a cat?
You know, I'm
it's the dog.
I'm sitting here listening to Mark getting very anxious and thankful and thankful for the fact that I'm not seeing anybody right now because I just can't. I can't do it.
You can't do it. What can't you do, Bree? Tell me
no.
what you can't
mm-hmm.
do. On the Bree Life radio show.
No,
I'm trying to get it.
We're on the Bree Life radio show on Blog Talk Radio, and we have a burning question.
No.
What is it? I just know.
Go ahead. What are you talking about?
Folks, she won't let me. She won't answer me. But guess what? You know what's in there.
Answer what?
Answer
what question? What am I answering?
The question is,
what am I answering?
What is your issue with men right now?
Inconsistency. The same thing I've been saying consistently is men's inconsistency. That's all I really. But I'm not going into.
Okay. Wait a minute.
I can't.
Wait a minute.
I have so many.
Do
you know
you
what?
Feel,
and then.
Do you feel that? If, like, for instance, we had a gentleman on the show the other day that said he had interacted with 25,000 women in 5 years.
Mm.
Now,
here's
the point. It don't even make a difference whether he really did or not, because my point, which is bringing me to the question I have, Bree, is this. What part of you are responsible for the outcomes that you have been involved in? Because remember, when we were talking about this gentleman, our question was, well, damn, you need 25,000 women. You can't. Not one of them work.
Well, first of all, I'm not taking in that much inventory. I don't have the time or the inclination to do so. Okay, that's, hello? Turn
I'm here.
Okay.
I have to get up and go in the other room to do that. 1 second.
Thank you. But the inconsistency of the interaction is just, and it's because they're distracted. Now I'm busier because I have the radio show going on. I have my design collection going on. I'm mentoring, I'm volunteering. I've got a lot of initiatives going on at one time. And now people are complaining to me that I don't have time for them. And I say not so because I have time for what's important. I have time for people who have time for me. But you've got to be consistent with that. You're making a lot of noise, whoever that is.
I just sat down. Go ahead.
I have time.
Is it better now?
Don't you hear all the animals in the background?
There's no animals saying anything. Yes. Unreal.
So, one question. What kind of headset do you got a headset?
I have my earplugs in.
What kind of earplugs you got?
Just a regular kind. You put in both ears and you plug into the phone. You know, the white ones you see everybody walking around with.
So are they made by Apple or who are they made by?
They're made by Apple.
Okay, Apple hit. Okay. Man, you got some good technology. You work with some good technology, man.
I'm good.
You are clear. But then, yeah, it's clear. It's really clear. So, because I had one of the listeners sent me a message. They said, what kind of headset does she have?
Okay.
So now you're helping the listeners out now, Sherry. So now you know what that means?
What, they're going to get the Apple phone?
No, you got to come back again.
As long as it's not a topic that's going to stress me out.
Look, as long as you got your animals around, you will not be stressed. All you got to do is go rub your dog. You'll feel better.
Yeah, I always do.
All you got to do is jump up, lick you in the face. You'll be fine.
Well,
okay.
Not too much of that, but.
So to wrap
you
up,
know, you know, you've got a lot of nerves.
To wrap up,
you're not a
cold-blooded
person. Go ahead.
But what to wrap what we were talking about. So that's my issue. So
men.
I have time for those who have time for me. I've got a lot of stuff going on right now, and the one thing that I don't need to hear from somebody is you don't have time for me. Why don't you call me? Why don't you call me?
Right.
Why don't you call me and say, I'm coming to get you. You know, can you take a break? I just need an hour. Let's go sit down and break bread. Whatever. I don't know.
Well, Bree,
I'm busy.
Why don't they have time for you?
No. I didn't say that they didn't have time for me. I'm saying what they're complaining to me that I don't have time for them.
Right.
So
why don't you have time for them?
Because she's got a lot of projects going on right now.
No,
I have time for the project. I don't have time for shenanigans. That's what I don't have. And fraggle-nackleness.
No, the men are projects. The men are the project.
No.
Not right now.
I refuse to take on that project. Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, as long as you tonight get a nice hug from those earrings, you'll be just fine.
Yes, absolutely. And they'll be attached. And they'll be attached to some bills. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have bills.
And not
so
bills
have,
that I owe. Okay.
Oh,
dollar bills.
So that means you're gonna have the earrings and Benjamin. Oh, that's so nice. A white man on a white green man. I knew you sisters would turn changing on us.
Hey.
At that point, that'll attract people, so that'll change the game right there. Not that you want it to change the game, but it will.
Because unfortunately, when things weren't doing so well, I guess I wasn't as attractive as I am now that things are doing well. But that's just the way of the world.
Right.
That's just the way of the world.
Yes, it is.
The way of the world. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to thank our co-host and my brother at arms, Mark Sedit, in Houston, Texas. He did a wonderful job this evening interviewing interviewing the men. I had a brain freeze there because I was so stuck in what you just said, Mark. Interviewing the gentleman from Young Men Strong organization.
YMS.
Yes. And I want to thank my cousin Sherry for allowing me to ambush her, as I'm sure in the next 5 minutes we'll be,
thank you.
Be on the
you
phone
guys are
and she'll be giving me an earful. And I want to continue to thank our listeners. I want to thank our listeners because without them, Bree Life would not really be in existence. I'd be out here in the air all by myself on Blog Talk Radio, and that's not happening. So I want to thank you all very much. Tune in next week as we're going to have Curtis Benjamin from – why am I having – a problem tonight.
Save our daughters.
Saving our daughters on our show. We also are going to bring Sherry back on to talk about the topic that we didn't get to. So
I will try my best.
In closing, I want to say peace and blessings and good night.
Good night, everyone.
Adrian in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.